David Wilcock, and you're about to hear Divine Cosmos audio blog, where I interviewed Benjamin Fulford on November 2nd, 2010. Today's date is May 11th, 2011. I was loath to release this audio interview when it first came out for several reasons, one of which was that Fulford himself was receiving a lot of death threats, and the issues that we discuss in this audio blog are totally the same issues that were causing those death threats. Another main reason why I didn't put this audio blog out at the time was that I was extremely busy finishing my book, The Source Field Investigations, and it really hasn't stopped since then. Recently, I saw comments on the internet of people being very upset that I still hadn't put this out, and I had completely forgotten about it. I went back and I listened to it, and I did all the post-processing that was necessary. My audio doesn't sound very good. It's a roomy echo, and it was a lot quieter, so I had to go in and tweak all the volume levels in order to make it sound good. However, I've done all that work. The only other problem is that for whatever reason, it cut off at the end, so we lost the last little part of the interview, but most of it was preserved. What we're left with, however, is a very fascinating interview. If you don't already know, Benjamin Fulford was the former East-West editor for Forbes magazine, and has become quite a legend on the internet because he is in contact, or he claims to be in contact, with multiple insiders, all of whom have differing perspectives on what is going on with the global game in the big picture. He's talking to people in every one of the different factions. He's talking to people in the Rockefeller faction. He's talking to people in the Rothschild faction. He's talking to people in China. He's talking to people in Japan. He's talking to people in Vietnam. He's talking to people from the Pentagon who represent a rogue splinter group that is opposing these Illuminati plans. You have to understand also that even within China, there are many factions, and we get into that in this interview. One of the things that Fulford has claimed on his blog from time to time is that the Vietnamese source, as he reveals in this interview, told him that in fact some extraterrestrial humans came here in the 1940s, they wanted open communication with us, they wanted peace, and they were treated very, very badly. He didn't go into a whole lot of detail. I tried to press him for some details about what he meant by that and whether this in fact was the Roswell crash. I have independent confirmation that that appears to be what it is, but he didn't know. It's very difficult to get Benjamin to talk about the UFO phenomenon, and I understand that. He's certainly trying to protect his credibility, and typically there has been a great laughter curtain around this issue that makes it very difficult for people to discuss it in a way that seems to be something that we take seriously or credibly. The most important thing that you get out of this interview is that there is a very comprehensive worldwide effort underway right now to bring down these rogue negative factions that are seeking to reduce the world's population by billions of people, which they claim is going to be good for the environment. Well, I don't buy that. The simple facts are that if you look at what happens when you allow a country to develop, people stop having so many children because they don't need those children in order to survive in an otherwise brutal existence. As countries westernize, they actually approach zero population growth. Then, when you also factor in the technologies that are being suppressed, the technologies that could literally create free energy, gravity shielding, greening the deserts, desalinating ocean water, running automobiles for 1,000 miles to the gallon on water by splitting out the hydrogen, which then becomes a very potent fuel. It's obvious that we could take ourselves into space, we could colonize the moon. There's all sorts of interesting and wonderful things we could do right now to transform our planet, so that these would not be quote-unquote surplus people. And who gets to decide which people are quote-unquote surplus in the first place? Look, I'm disgusted by the things that I've heard when I talk to these people, these insiders, who speak very blithely, in some cases, about the idea of depopulation. In fact, I won't work with anybody who supports that agenda. I do want to make it clear, like what's going on with Fulford, that because of my public position, and because of the power of the internet to reach anyone, and also through, in some cases, affiliation with Project Camelot. I've had insiders come my way who have given me very credible information to let me know that they are, in fact, serving these overlords in some capacity. It's very important, though, to point out that just because these people have these jobs doesn't mean they like what they're doing, doesn't mean they support what's going on. There are many, many so-called white hats or patriots or whatever term you'd like to use who are working within these groups but are also seeing that this cannot go on. Something needs to change. Some of the people who I'm in contact with do work for various factions that are in the European branch, or what you would call the Rothschild branch. This is no different than somebody working for a corporation, and it just so happens that at the top of the corporation, these are the people running the show. Similarly, in America, you have the so-called Rockefeller faction, and I also know people working on that level. What I have heard, to bring this right up to date with the present, is that there was a plan put forward by one of the lesser-known alphabet soup agencies, which apparently has a coordinating role in all this, to have an open, honest disclosure. Now, honest is probably not the right word. I'm not reading off of prepared notes. This is just coming off the top of my head as I'm talking to you right now. Let's not use the word honest. Let's say an open, official disclosure. That plan was advanced and actually reached a point where all the different insider agencies had to vote on it as of the end of March. And apparently they did vote on it, because I was told at the end of March that they had 1 month in which, at the end of that month, if the vote went through, you would see the first major steps towards disclosure being taken on an official level. Now, independently, I have another source who has close connections to the Obama administration. The Obama administration is an incestuous cesspool. I want to make that very clear. People have been ripping me up, thinking that I have given some sort of blanket endorsement of what's been going on through this administration. That is emphatically and totally not true, and there is no more clear way that I can say it than to say that there are many, many things that I strongly disagree with that have been happening, and I find it quite disgusting. Now that we got that out of the way, I also want to make it clear that some of these insiders who demonstrated unequivocal bona fides that they really are working for these groups have told me that Obama was not supposed to win the election. It was either going to be Hillary Clinton on the Democratic side, or it was going to be John McCain on the Republican side, and those both represent warring factions. It was pretty clear that the fix was in. The thing they didn't count on, in my opinion, was Oprah, who was the most powerful woman in the world at the time, and she put her full endorsement behind Obama, and that seems to have been perhaps the tipping point that got him to actually be a serious contender. There was a very, very bloody battle going on between Obama and Hillary for the Democratic nomination. And then, when the election war was underway, the war against Obama was very intense. I do not think for a minute that this was an inside job, that it was fixed all along, that Obama was going to win. Another thing that I always want to remind people about is that these insiders told me that once he actually secured the election and won the election, he was taken aside and given very, very severe warnings that basically he had to do what he was told, or else he would pay the ultimate price and his family would pay the ultimate price. These threats were so severe, apparently, that he stumbled out of the room after he was told all this and collapsed into sitting down with his hands over his face and said, "My God, they've made me into a scapegoat." Now, this is from very credible intel sources who also actually showed me photographs of a manila envelope that just had the number of his presidency on it, which I can't remember off the top of my head. I think it was 43. I did see the photograph of this, and inside the envelope apparently was all the documentation that was the threatening information legal precedent that they gave him, which is basically illegal, but it doesn't matter because it's not a law that we have any control over. It's a law by gunpoint. And within this manila envelope were all these documents telling him what he had to do if he wasn't going to fall out of line. Now, Benjamin Fulford has been tracking this story. He is not an Obama supporter. And I want to make it clear that I do not support any government at this time. What's been happening in the Obama administration, in my opinion, is a very nasty war that's going on between various negative factions that Obama naively trusted and put in charge. I honestly do not think he was aware that the very people who were supporting him and promoting his career had agendas that he was unaware of. This brings us to the assassination of bin Laden, which is another very recent issue. Now, just about everyone who follows alternative media cannot believe that this really was bin Laden who was killed. There have been innumerable stories that bin Laden was killed in a bombing raid in 2001 in December, that bin Laden died of kidney failure in 2002 or 2003. Then you have Benazir Bhutto, who was on BBC in 2007 before she was assassinated, saying that Osama had been killed in 2007 or sometime in the recent past. You also have Steve Pachisnik, I believe is how you pronounce his name, who recently was on Alex Jones. And he apparently is the inspiration behind the Tom Clancy spy novels. And he also said that Osama was killed some time ago. What I can tell you is only what I'm being told. I cannot say that this is true. I don't know if it's true. All I'm doing is sharing an insider perspective, but I want to share some new things in this little audio blog that I didn't say before. I had a close friend who, right after 9/11, had told me about their involvement with remote viewing. This person was talking to some of the lesser-known remote viewing people who were, to some degree, public and had been trained in remote viewing. And this friend of mine specifically wanted to learn the technique. This person already had some psychic abilities and wanted to learn the technique, wanted to be able to use what was already there to help the country. Now, this person wanted to use remote viewing to target Osama bin Laden in the aftermath of 9/11. This person spoke to some of the top remote viewing people, because there's only a handful of them. It wasn't the top names that everybody knows, but it was certainly one of a small group. Let's put it that way. I really don't want to get too specific here. This person told my friend that they could have targeted bin Laden any time with remote viewing. It's easy. I mean, think about how well we know that it works. When it really gets going, it's over 99% accurate. They could have done it any time throughout the 1990s. They could have done it after the World Trade Center initial bombing in 1993, where a bomb blew up in the basement. They could have done it at any point leading up to 9/11 or after 9/11. Now, this was the bombshell, and it only comes full circle later on. This top remote viewing guy told my friend, "We have been ordered not to go after bin Laden. We have been ordered to leave him alone." Now, that was one small thing that got filed into the back of my mind. There also is a commenter in my most recent article, which is called Official Government Disclosure. And this person is calling himself the Asian Brother. And he is saying that a friend of his was also made aware that any effort to go after bin Laden has been stifled. Even if they knew where he was, the troops or whoever is trying to go after him is ordered not to go after him. Now, why in the world would that be? You have to think in terms of the big picture here. You have to go back to what was 9/11. Now, on the official level, it's a joke. Guys with box cutters taking over four or five airplanes at once. And all but one of them were successful in reaching their targets, and then you have buildings that collapse like they're made out of paper mache or dominoes, just poosh, and they're gone. The whole thing is ridiculous. Now, everybody has argued about it, and everybody said, oh, well, if you could have a fire melt steel, then why can't you have the iron in your fireplace melt into a pool? That's a very good point. And of course, Building 7 is really interesting because here's a building that didn't get hit by anything and it just collapses into its own footprint in 7 seconds. Look, the 9/11 subject is something you can go so far down the rabbit hole in, you can get really lost in it, but there are tons and tons and tons of things you can find that make it absolutely clear that this was an inside job. And in fact, I have other very high-placed insiders who told me that 5 different technologies were used to bring those towers down. I wasn't given details as to what those were, but I imagine that you have demolition charges with the thermite, which would be the cutting charges to actually slice the I-beams up. I believe you had miniature nuclear weapons that were used. I believe you also had satellite-based particle beam technology that actually dustified concrete. There's some very credible evidence on that front. So look, this thing is a festering cesspool. I do not consider 9/11 to have been a victory for these people at all. I consider it to be a catastrophic failure. Just 1 or 2 days before 9/11, Rumsfeld gets on television and announces $2.3 trillion that the Department of Defense had quote-unquote lost. Think about that for a minute. That's bigger than the bailouts. That's bigger than all of this stuff that we got so upset about, $700 billion here, $700 billion there. But it got washed away in 9/11. And after 9/11, it refreshes the defense contractors. They get all this money to build new things. There's a Patriot Act that tried to be passed that, if it had succeeded, could have already led to people being put in detainment camps here in the U.S., the declaration of martial law, the stifling of all different types of freedom, possibly the complete shutdown of the internet. There's all sorts of things that were planned and didn't come to pass. There is no question that the Bush administration was trying to shove through a lot of very nasty stuff. Nobody's going to deny that. By the time this financial collapse had happened, it was during the presidential election. That didn't happen overnight. That was a cumulative effect in 2008 when you saw these markets going down. Now, there's some other things that are coming up in articles that I'm going to be publishing later. There was a United Nations vote for the disclosure of UFO reality in 2008. They decided on it. They decided on a plan that would take place over the next 2 years. That plan seems to have been going along because there was a massive uptick in the amount of documentation that came out, and they also wanted to see what the public's response would be. Later in 2008, and I forget exactly when, it was either March or May, there was a secret closed executive meeting of Congress that was closed to the public. And there have been 2 different testimonies on the inside that leaked of what was discussed in that meeting. And apparently what was discussed was, when the American people find out what we've done to them, what the heck do we do? And there are a variety of things that came out of that, but one of which was, they are going to run for the hills and they do not want to be around. I have heard some reports that people are already fleeing the U.S., who are in these positions of secret influence. I do not know if this is true. What I do know, however, is that one of my insiders let me know that the killing of bin Laden was a shock to the inside world. There was a 60 Minutes interview where President Obama is saying that he didn't let hardly anyone in his administration know that he was going to do this. That in and of itself is shocking. He said even the most senior members of his cabinet were not told about the operation against bin Laden. To me, that is a clear sign that he knows that he's dealing with a rat-infested cesspool where there's all different political allegiances, and as soon as anything that he knows is told to anyone else, it's no longer a secret. So apparently the operation was conducted in secret. Now, why would they take bin Laden out? Again, I don't know if this is true. All I can say is that my insider sources, and it's more than one, told me that bin Laden was alive, and that he was training people to blow up pipelines and oil refineries in Iraq. If that Iraqi oil had gotten out into the market, it would have competed with Saudi Arabia, it would have competed with Brazil, and all the other major oil producers who are out there, and could have sizably reduced the cost of oil, which in turn would have created a catastrophic financial collapse for these insiders in the Rockefeller faction who are making their money off of having high oil prices. Therefore, what this insider told me seems totally credible and plausible. We are dealing with a political assassination. Bin Laden was right next to a military training camp in Pakistan, where apparently these people were being trained in how to do these covert operations, and they were risking their lives. Now again, this has created a fair degree of controversy. We've probably had about 15 different comments that we were submitted on our website that we had to moderate and not put them up, because the level of searing disrespect and anger, and in some cases threats, that came through in these letters was not respectful, and it was not becoming of a polite public discourse. I don't mind if people disagree. What I do mind is when they disagree with violence and demeaning humiliation and sarcasm. It's a private website, and we have the right to decide what goes up there and what doesn't go up there. Project Camelot, by the way, has completely and totally shut down all comments because of this problem. We're not going to do that here. We're going to allow comments to go through, including critical comments, as long as they're written with respect. All that being said, this interview that I conducted with Benjamin Fulford back in November was discussing a very interesting turn of events where, in fact, China has allegedly put together a campaign to bring down these insiders. You have to remember now, this meeting in Congress, the closed meeting I talked about, was in something like March or May 2008, and it was after that meeting that you had the collapse of the economy. Now, that collapse, according to Fulford's sources, was caused by China and their allies deliberately. And after that collapse, the insiders in the Rockefeller faction were forced to pay up on these elaborate and very highly costly derivatives contracts that they had. Now, derivatives are financial instruments in which you have a small amount of actual assets, and you can then use that as leverage to margin much larger profits. However, you are betting that other stocks or commodities or whatever it is will collapse. And if they don't collapse, if they actually increase in value beyond a certain point, and it's not something that you expect, then you will then have to pay back all of the original margin that you were working off of. What happened was, in the 2008 collapse, they lost their equity and they had to pay up. They were forced to produce gold in large quantities to China. And what they did is actually send China electroplated tungsten bars that had a little bit of gold on the outside. They were doped with lead to get exactly the right weight to seem like they were gold. But as soon as you assay them, which means drill into them, lo and behold, all you got inside is tungsten, which is worth about $10 a pound or something. $10 an ounce, I believe. So it's much, much less. So think about this now. You have this country that has defaulted on China, that has given them massive amounts of fake gold. And China is now in a position to demand that they be repaid. That's the underlying essence of what this is all about. And when you track what Fulford was saying throughout all of the year 2009, this story was unfolding. And of course, it came to a deadline, which I believe was September 30th, 2009. They gave this false gold. And then in the aftermath of that, the Chinese almost immediately realized it was fake. And this new campaign began, which wound up into 2010 in July, where these packages were distributed to all different governments around the world. And they were told, don't open this until October 13th. Well, October 13th rolls around and they open the packages. They were told.